your generous support. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of She Gotta Have It at Top Down Rooftop Cinema, Thursday, July 28th at 8 p.m. on top of the Hotel Deluxe parking structure here in Portland. She Gotta Have It is Spike Lee's first feature film, released in 1986. The film tells the story of Nola Darling, a young woman who refuses to choose between her three lovers because she views monogamy as a form of slavery. Again, that's She Gotta Have It at the Top Down Rooftop Cinema, Thursday, July 28th at 8 p.m. on the top of the Hotel Deluxe parking structure at Southwest 15th and Yamhill in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 3rd Annual Peace Festival, Saturday, July 30th at 5 p.m. at the Dolores Winningstad Theater in Portland. The Peace Festival theme this year is Just Us Speaks, and will showcase youth from all across the city with different backgrounds, worldviews, experiences, and insights who will share their hearts through the performing arts. Again, that's the 3rd Annual Peace Festival, Saturday, July 30th at 5 p.m. at the Dolores Winningstad Theater, 1111 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale. Yay! This is a great time to clean out those closets and shelves and turn your old books, records, and CDs into cash for community radio. Bring them to KBOO Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Wednesday, August 10th. The sale will be held in mid-August. Stay tuned for details. Please, no home recorded cassettes, VHS tapes, or mold. If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email Ani at volunteer@kboo.org or phone her at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 26, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on the radio and kboo.fm on the web. And all of the above on four wheels with blue fur. Today's weather, well, what have we got? It's been remarkably consistent, mostly cloudy early on, and then that blue sky breaking through, shattering its own blue ceiling. Highs around 81 eventually, and north-northwest winds 5 to 9. For tonight, clouds building up, lows around 61, and not much difference in the wind, unless you happen to be checking up on these things. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, then gradually clearing, highs around 87, and tomorrow night, clear. Well, for the most part, lows around 60. That's it for Cascadia's weather. And we always wonder the most remarkable things under the sun in Philadelphia via Moscow. Is Vladimir Putin really, really, really involved in the DNC? will Vladimir Putin be playing? It doesn't get any stranger. Perhaps he'll end up being the substitute VP on the Republican ticket. It or for that matter, the Democratic ticket. And this Wasserman Schultz lady, you just can't keep a bad woman down. There is no way of getting rid of her. She's being repositioned to play her role in yet another echelon of the Democratic Party, proving once again that there are no limits to corruption. Glass ceiling or no glass ceiling, she's definitely broken through something. That said, we've got William Black as our guest today. This is exciting. We're really glad to have Bill on the show. He has recently written a piece. It was in Consortium News. He's an associate professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri in Kansas City. A former bank regulator led investigations of the savings and loan crisis of the 1980s. And wow, that was a doozy. Speaking of corruption, he's also the author of the book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. And he just had this piece that we saw in Consortium News on Hillary's choice for VP. The Tim Kaine is an interesting for us, not just a strategical viewpoint, but tactical as well. And he's definitely blowing smoke over the real issues. One of them, of course, the prominent issue being Hillary's hawkish stance on virtually every opportunity to participate in world affairs. Hillary has gone in with guns a-blazing and dragged most of the country along with her. That is something, she's done that in our name, and that's why we ought to be very concerned about this choice. So it is already a done deal. People in Philadelphia are pretty unhappy about it. We'll be speaking tomorrow with Rayed Jarrah about the climate there, and I don't mean just the hot weather. Currently in Philadelphia, and Russell McIver, the editor of Corporate Crime Reporter, he also is there, and he has a piece called Bernie Sanders Delegates Take on Bernie Sanders, which foreshadowed the chanting and protests that first night. Well, we're going to see what today brings. We're going to be first speaking with William Black. Just quickly breezing through a couple of very important headlines. The tomorrow, July 27th, is the last day that you can send in your comments on the fossil fuel terminal zoning amendment. Wow, and they couldn't possibly use terminal more conclusively and broadly. In case you missed it, last November, Portland passed a historic resolution to actively oppose expansion of that the infrastructure that it would take to accommodate corporate interests. Well, tomorrow is the last day that you can get your word in on that development. And the Citizens Review, there's a lot going on right now with Portland Cop Watch. Alas, we have not time to cover that, but you can certainly go to copwatch.org and find out what's happening there. The proposed end of public police misconduct hearings is what's on the table. And finally, of course, Indigenous people, First Nations, are once again taking in the fossil fuel industry and that part of it which intends to expand through tribal lands which were guaranteed, granted, and otherwise given to First Nations people by virtue of treaties which have been consistently and routinely violated by the white power structure. And there you have it. And beneath all of these, there are a multitude of other smaller headlines that we can take on, but not right now because we're fortunate to have William Black with us. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Well, we're so glad to have you on board with us today on Air Cascadia. And your consortium news piece, Hillary's Choice for VP, that's very interesting, and I myself believe it has strategic as well as tactical significance. Why did she choose Tim Kaine?
Well, we of course have nothing to look into her heart to know why, but we
does she have really... one? Would be the place to start.
Okay. But in economics, we do talk about revealed preferences. And what we mean by that is words are cheap, actions are what matter and what tell us what people are doing. And we know that her short list consisted of Tim Kaine, who she obviously eventually picked, but also Tom Vilsack. Now, what do these three people have in common, these two men and Hillary Clinton? They are all very long-term members of the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Coalition. And the DLC doesn't exist anymore formally, but they're all alums. And this is the Wall Street wing of the Democratic Party, as you mentioned. It wanted to, on foreign policy, to change the Democrats, to not make them the party that was always going on about peace, and instead make it the muscular foreign policy party that would intervene and use, it's not afraid to use U.S. military might. But in their most known, and indeed they were financed, the DLC was financed overwhelmingly, almost exclusively by big finance. And so this is why you saw Bill Clinton, with Hillary's great support, becoming the great deregulator of finance. Mm-hmm. And not just deregulator, but de-supervisor. In other words, it doesn't matter whether the rules remain as if you appoint people who aren't going to enforce them. And Bill Clinton appointed people who wouldn't enforce them. As you mentioned, I was a financial regulator. I left under Bill Clinton when I personally saw this and heard this. We were told from the very top that we were to refer to the members of the industry and treat the members of the industry as, and I quote, our customers.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm all right now. Go ahead.
Okay, so they are best known in the domestic sphere for setting the stage for the wave, the three big epidemics of fraud that drove the most recent financial crisis, but also the fraud epidemic that drove the Enron era scandals. In addition, on domestic policy in general, they were intensively anti-regulation, and they were against the New Deal. They were quite explicit about this. The New Deal was, in their view, the problem, the legacy, that Democrats had to get over it, had to move away from it. Democrats had to move away from unions and move more to the technocrats, that we had to end welfare, and so they were very proud of what they call welfare reform, that we had to reduce Social Security benefits, and they were very proud of their grand bargains with the Republicans to do that and such. So Hillary Clinton is the moderate Republican running in this race on those kind of economic issues. And of course, the other big thing is they were very, very big on the war on crime. And so people probably, your listeners know that there was I'm also a criminologist, by the way, a 100-to-1 disparity in sentencing severity, depending on whether you're using crack cocaine or powder. So a crack was punished in terms of incarceration with a weighting factor that was 100 times bigger than powder cocaine. Now, when that was done the very first time, there's a debate as to whether the people who did it knew that powder cocaine was used overwhelmingly by whites and crack cocaine was used overwhelmingly by blacks. By the way, they're chemically the same, and they have the same effect. But there is no doubt that within a year, this was clear to everyone, and the U.S. Sentencing Commission, which is professionals, came back, made a recommendation that we end this disparity, and Bill Clinton, working with the Republicans, blocked the U.S. sentencing recommendation, which otherwise would have become law. And if you recall, this is when Hillary was adopting that extreme right-wing mem that's talked about blacks as, quote, and I'm quoting her, super predators. And the literature on that is really nasty. It used words like feral, which is for a tame, formerly tame animal, in other words, a slave in this context, that becomes wild, which is to say free.
William, on that note, we have to go again, time constraints. I cannot thank you enough for joining us today. We want to have you back in very near future. Tom Vilsack, we really need to talk a little bit more about him. Also, I believe in the 1980s, when you were investigating the savings and loan scams, that also ushered in the era of massive deregulation of banks. It was just starting then, and now we see where that has led Wall Street, or Wall Street has led us. William, thank you so much again for this. And hopefully later in the week we'll talk a little bit more. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, July 26, 2016. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson.